In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our Old Testament reading, Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. Ever heard those words? Ever used those words? I know you have. Maybe it's to your spouse. You know, they're telling you they're going to take out the garbage, they're going to do the dishes, and so you hear them respond, I promise to do that as soon as this show is over. And you mumble under your breath, yeah, right. I'll believe that when I see it. Of course, there's all the promises of a politician, and it doesn't matter what side of any line you are ever on. It's all the same. They're all sinners just like me, or I just like you. So words go unfulfilled. And so they'll make this promise, hey, if you elect me, I'll do this or that and the other thing. And you've just lived your life so long that you just kind of shake your head and at the TV and say, yeah, right. I'll believe that when I see it. Then there's the infamous example among parents. If you have ever had children, you know what I'm talking about. It's that moment when they come to you with the sweetest of eyes, the most endearing of tones. Mom? Dad? If you buy me this toy, if you buy me this video game, if you purchase the cell phone, I promise you, I will never ask you to buy me anything else in my entire life. And the parent sarcastically rolls their eyes to the back of the head and says, yeah, right. I'll believe that when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. You guys know it. It's an attitude. It's a mindset of extreme doubt. It is a phrase that is fit for the sinfulest of worlds. It is the stuff of which broken promises are made. So if you know that, and you've experienced that, then you understand the people of God in Isaiah's day. They had been in slavery 70 years. In Babylonian captivity, Nebuchadnezzar came in, took their city, burned it to the ground. The temple of God also burned to the ground. There was chains and forced bondage and march and blood-curdling cries. They sat by the waters of Babylon crying out to God, praying night and day. And he didn't seem to answer them. And Isaiah, his word comes to their hearts, their minds, their ears. Isaiah's word, you have the last portion for you, Isaiah says, and the ransomed of the Lord will return to Zion, hope and comfort. They will come with everlasting joy, and shouts of gladness shall be on their hearts. Sorrow and sighing, they will flee away. Now, after 70 years of suffering, after 70 years of praying, that's the word that you hear? That's not your experience. That's not your lived reality. You know what Israel feels? Yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. This is like me leaving today, going to Bismarck. I'm just going to use my own lifespan. 43 years, right? I walk into the state penitentiary. I pick out a man or woman who's been there 43 years, and I say, good news. Good news. After 43 years, you are going to be released at the end of the day. Tomorrow will be a new day. You get to go home. A free man, a free woman. You think they're going to believe a word of my mouth? 43 years I've spent in prison, and tomorrow? Yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. That's the attitude of Israel. 70 long years of praying and not seeing their heart's desire. You can't blame them. I can't blame them. We live in a world of broken promises where words are meaningless, where talk is proverbially cheap, all those sorts of things. And if you say that about the people that are closest to you, your mother and father, your grandparents, your friends, your brother or sister, if that's what you have to say about them, and you see them every day face to face, then how can you say that about the one whom you don't see with your own eyes? God himself. When he speaks that word to you, he speaks a word of promise. And sometimes that word of promise goes on a long time. So I'm going to take something and I'm going to expand it for you. More than 70 years. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus nearly has risen from the dead and ascended to the Father's right hand and made you and I a promise. A promise he made to his own disciples who walked with him. I will come again and I will take you to be with me so that where I am, there you will be also. And he ascended into heaven. And the promise is you will see him just as he went. It's been 43 years of my life. There, you know how old I am still again. It's been 43 years of my life. And you know what I have seen? I haven't seen him come to judge the living and the dead yet. I'll tell you that much. And so I got to wonder, for all those prayers uttered, for all that time waiting, is God's word trustworthy and true? Can I depend on it? Is he going to do what he says he's going to do? Now, Isaiah has a rather fun natural analogy for you. It's in 10 and 11 of our text, 55 today. He says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven." I want you to think about that. The rain. Now, I know you got to stretch your memory back there to like a week or two ago when we had the rain, because right now it's just hot, it's humid, it's heat index of 110. So think of the days when you had rain. And snow, let's just leave that for when. I'm not thinking about snow. But think about the rain, right? It comes down. And what does it do? Does it just all of a sudden fall and right back up? Is that what the rain does? Or does the rain fall and the water that is in the rain then actually absorb into the ground and water the earth? Is that not what happens? I think that's what happens when you guys ask me as farmers to pray for rain or not. We got too much water, we got too little. I mean, that is the nature of rain and snow. It falls, it waters the earth. Okay, Isaiah's response then is, "So shall my word be. It shall not return void, but it will go forth, just as the rain and the snow do. It will go forth and accomplish that for which I purpose it." So you want to know if God's trustworthy or true, his word? Look at the rain. What's the history in all of life's history, in all of the thousands of years? What has happened every time it's rained? Has it not watered the earth, that rain, or that snow? Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So Isaiah says, you see that? That's the promise of the word of God that I hold through you. Throughout all of history, every time it rained, it watered. Throughout all of history, that's what happened. Every single time, God made a promise. So think about that. What happened when God said, in the beginning, "Let there be light"? Was there not light? Evening and morning, the first day. And when God told Abraham, not once, not twice, three times, that he would be the offspring, and Sarah herself, Sarai at the time, was barren and couldn't have a child. He waited 20 years. But what happened? Sarah gave birth to Abraham, Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to the 12 sons, and the sons became 12 tribes of Israel, and they were a great nation indeed. Think about then, so that's 20 years, think about 400 years. Back in Genesis, God said, "You will go into slavery, but yet out of this, I will do signs and wonders that have not been seen on the earth today, and you will go free, and you will worship God on this mountain." And that's how Exodus begins. 400 years of slavery. And for all of the people's whining and complaining, what did God do? Did he not free them from their slavery? Is that not what that blood of the lamb window is all about? The doorposts, the lintels, and God passes over them, and they don't die, they get life. Then consider the wandering in the wilderness. 40 years, their sandals did not wear out, their clothes did not wear out, but did they not end up in the promised land as God promised that they would? Of course they did. Then let's go greater than that. Let's go thousands of years. Let's go to the greatest promise ever made. Back in Genesis 3, after Adam and his wife stretched out their hand and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we were corrupted with sin, we could do nothing. We were dead in our trespasses, separated from God. But God did not desire your death, and he did not desire my death. So he promised, "I will send forth a son, an offspring. He will crush your head, serpent, and you shall bruise his heel." Did our Lord Jesus, not in the fullness of time, come forth, born of Mary, born of woman, born under the law to redeem you and I who are under the law. That Jesus, did he not hang on this cross in holy love and joy for you? Did he not pay for your sins, not with gold or silver, but with his own precious blood? Did he not engrave your name on the palm of his very hand? And did he not put that mark on you in the waters of baptism saying, you are mine, you are my child, I love you, you belong to me, and yours is eternal life with your eternal God? Did he not crush the rule of Satan under his feet on the cross in love? In love, our Lord did all of this, and all of this he did for you and me. And risen from the dead, he has made you another promise, a promise you saw fulfilled in your own eyes today. He says to you in Romans 8, who believe in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, no judgment, no wrath of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. So you came today here to this sanctuary, to this church. Now, I suppose I could go around the room and, you know, kind of point out ages and all that sort of stuff. How long have you been here and doing all your living and waiting on God? But I'll tell you this. I suppose I could do that, and it would actually strengthen you to see how we have the youngest in our midst who have just begun their journey in Christ, and then also the oldest in our midst who have been faithful year after year, but that faithfulness has endured in a very particular way. They, like you, have come here to this sanctuary today with your sin, the stuff you said you weren't going to do again last week. Here you are again today because you did the very thing you didn't want to do. And what did God do for you? He promised you there is no condemnation. So when you confess your sins, did God zap lightning bolt for you from heaven? No. He did what he promised to do for you. If you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive you. And so he did. He said, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and you are free. You are a child of God, and not even the devil can wag that sin back in your face. And you came into this sanctuary today, and you have been beaten down. You have been beaten down by all kinds of things. Illness, disease, could be cancer, could be Parkinson's, could be heart failure, could be kidney failure and all kinds of dialysis. Could be the beginning of Alzheimer's and dementia. It could be the loss of mobility as you grow old. It could be the loss of someone dear to you, a child, a husband, a spouse, any number of those things, a dear friend, and you are mourning that loss. You are beaten down by sin and empty words of broken promises. But when you came here today crying out, God, where are you? Why don't you answer me? Why aren't you present? Why don't you do something? God's word of promise remained. Do you remember what he promised in Matthew 18:20? Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Open your eyes and look around. It's okay if you stare at each other today. There are more than two or three here, aren't there? Our Lord has been in your midst, forgiving your sins. He will nourish you with his own body and blood that you may taste once again and see that the Lord your God has not forgotten you or abandoned you. He has loved you, beaten down. He raises you up to run the race of faith with perseverance, to receive in the end of time the salvation of your bodies and your souls. And there will be that promise, won't there, of that end of time. We've got to deal with that pesky promise. I will come again and take you to be with me so that where I am, I will be also, Jesus says. I will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no mourning, no sorrow, no death. You know, it's 2,000 years, no more pain, no suffering. So it has been 2,000 years. Oh, he's right back where he started. This must be coming out of the close of the sermon then, right? It's been 2,000 years since Jesus made that promise. And what has happened? Not nothing, guys. Not nothing. It is true that he has not returned. But you know what has happened? Exactly what he said would happen in 2 Peter chapter 3. In these dark and latter days, the scoffers will come scoffing at the faithful, saying, and following their own sinful desires, they will say, where is the coming promised one? Where is this guy who's promised to come 2,000 years ago? For ever since the fathers have fallen asleep, all the things of creation do what? They just continue as they always have continued, and nothing changes. They mock you, they laugh at you, exactly what our Lord told you would happen as you wait for him. And I know that causes you to doubt. God, is your word trustworthy? And is it true? But I don't want you to overlook this one fact, brothers, Peter says, that when it comes to time and God's promises, again, this is 2 Peter chapter 3. To God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. He is not slow, as some of you consider slowness, when it comes to the promises of God. He is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone in this world should perish, but that all may have the chance to hear of him and come to repentance and faith, because he does not desire the death of a sinner, but that all would turn to him and that they would live. So as the rain and as the snow come down, and they don't instantly go back up to heaven, they come down and they do what? They water the earth historically and consistently. So shall God's word of promise be. It will not return empty, and it will not return void. He will accomplish that for which he purposes. So that day, that great and day, awesome day of the Lord, it will come, and it will come as he said it would. It will come like a thief in the night. There will be those who are mocking and scoffing in our Lord in unbelief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, the heavenly bodies will be shaken, and the whole earth in on fire will be renewed. But you, dear saints of the living God, who call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You will enter into eternal life with your eternal God, and God will do the most human action. You know the hands that Thomas got to touch or was invited to touch in the side? You will see them with your own eyes. He will take that hand and he will wipe every tear from your eye. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more mourning. These words of your God, they are trustworthy. And they are true. He has spoken. He will do it. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly.